Welcome to Top 5, a show where we count things down from number 5 all the way to number 1. And this week, I think this was a request. Somebody I'm pretty sure requested in the Major Spoilers Discord server in the Top 5 channel. Hey, you guys haven't done anime. How about you do Top 5 anime? To which I said, okay, knowing that the last time that we did an anime, Top 5 anime series was all the way back in 2016. So welcome, new listener. Welcome, new fan of our Discord channel.
Hello, future people.
I have a feeling that a lot of this is going to be a repeat for me, but let's see how it goes. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number 5?
For my number 5, I have a show that's very popular right now. I'll just get it out of the way now. My list is very shonen-y. Like, it's all boys anime mostly.
Yeah.
My number 5 is Chainsaw Man. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
My youngest son loves it. My wife is like, it's the most disgusting, horrible thing in the world.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. It's very gory. What kind of sold me on Chainsaw Man is that it has the protagonist is an idiot, but in like an endearing way, as opposed to a lot of anime where the protagonist is an idiot in an annoying way. Also, he's like a perv, but at least has like smart or has sort of like modern sensibilities of like consent. So unlike a lot of anime protagonists where it is like borderline assault or just straight up assault. The main character of Chainsaw Man at least asks for permission. He is still very motivated by sex. But because that's not what the series is about necessarily, it's not something that happens all the time. It's pretty good. It's really solid. Its mythology is interesting, and I can already see it straining, even just having watched the first season. And I'm like, it'll be interesting, because I know the manga has gone on for a while. I haven't read it, but it'll be interesting to see what they do when the universe needs to expand, right? This is going to be an ongoing. So I'm interested to see where they take it.
Very good. Very good. Matthew, what do you have for your number 5?
I'm pretty sure that there's only going to be one repeat on my list, and that's just because I'm nothing if not consistent. And of course, anybody who, you know, knows me or has been around me for more than about half an hour knows that I'm a real big fan of what Stephen calls the capy tights. And so my number 5 is one of the closest takes to American superhero comics that I've ever seen in an anime form, One Punch Man. And One Punch Man is wonderful because it takes all of these arguments about how, oh, well, Superman is boring because shut up, just shut up. And it posits the most powerful superhero in the world who can end any fight with one single punch. He's so powerful that he's bored at being a superhero. And so you have to find your drama somewhere else. You have to do different things with the characters. And it really kind of, you know, it takes that whole cape and tights mentality, which has been around for nearly 100 years now in the West, and puts it in a completely different perspective, which I really appreciate. And most importantly, it takes this character who is clearly, obviously, the most powerful character in the world and still sticks him in a world where everybody thinks he's a schlub, he's a nebbish, he's a loser, he's a baldy. The Caped Baldy, apparently, is actually his legitimate superhero name, which that's just mean. If you ever see me as a superhero and I'm called the Caped Fat Man, well, actually, that sounds pretty cool. But in any case, if you've never seen One Punch Man, I don't recommend starting with the anime or the manga from which it sprang. I recommend starting with a video game, which focuses on another hero whose job is to live long enough for the timer to run out so that One Punch Man shows up and wins the fight. So if that description sounds like it may be your jam, first of all, you've passed my test and we can be friends. And second of all, you're going to want to check out my number five, One Punch Man.
Yeah, that's another one that my youngest son enjoys. My wife is like so-so on that one. She's just like, he's kind of annoying. But yeah. Now, they both, in fact, everybody in the household loves my number five, My Hero Academia. If you're talking about bringing your legion of superheroes into anime form, My Hero Academia does it. Everybody has one unique quirk that sets them apart, and they all go to high school to learn to use their powers and hopefully become superheroes so they can protect an unnamed city. And it's very interesting. I think season six just came out a couple of weeks ago, and so we've been sitting down and watching that. And it's interesting to see the heroes grow up and change and do different things. It's, you know, it's got a lot of your high school drama stuff in there. Who's my enemy? Who's competing against me? Plus, you have evil organization of evil people led by Manny Hands, who wants to bring all of them down. But yeah, My Hero Academia, it's a lot of fun. I get super annoyed because the episodes seem super, super short. When you add in the intro theme song, the end credits and everything, you've got like maybe 12 minutes of show each week when it comes out. And so that's kind of annoying, but that's also why it's my number five, My Hero Academia.
It's actually my number two.
Your number two. Why do you put it at your number two?
Well, initially I resisted it. People were talking about it. My kid was talking about it, you were talking about it. And I'm like, this does not seem right. But much like One Punch Man, once I actually got exposed to it, which was actually through our other podcast, the Major Spoilers podcast, when we read the first volume, I was like, oh, well, this seems like it is entirely my jam. And I think the most wonderful part about it is the fact that, like the Legion, which you referenced, absolutely is an influence because these characters have limited powers. And these are characters who exist in a world where pro hero is a job. So, you know, you're not necessarily going to be the Michael Jordan of being a pro hero, but you can definitely go and be, I don't know, who was that guy? The really short guy who shot things. I don't know.
Sticky balls.
Spud Webb. Oh. Spud Webb. His name is Grape Juice, okay?
Nope, it's Sticky Balls and Okie Dokie and Splody Hands and Manny Hands. Yeah, those are all their names.
Yeah, Manny Hands is named Nine, by the way. But yes, I do appreciate the fact that Splody Hands literally has explosive sweat. But if he wears his special gloves, he can use it. And, you know, if you look at, you know, there are characters who have extremely limited powers, but who use them in very creative ways. And there's a character who can turn into a giant. But unlike most, you know, Hank Pym giants, she can be either 5 feet tall or 80 feet tall. That's what you get. You're either eight stories or you're short. And I really like that. I like the fact that you do have weird characters like Pinky, for instance, who looks and dresses kind of like a cool mall chick, but apparently can secrete acid and just melt you. You know, there are wonderful moments throughout it. And as you said, I feel like it takes all of the bits and pieces of your school anime, which is a whole thing, a whole genre, and then sticks it together with chunks of American superhero movies and superhero comics and makes something entirely new. So I actually rated it higher than you, which I surprised. I knew it would be on your list. I didn't expect.
Yeah, it's just because it's so short. We sat down and it's like, we started the show, then the intro came on, and then they did a bit, then they have their two commercial bits, and then the credits were going on. I was like, wow, that's like 12 minutes of stuff. I feel like I'm not getting any story in, which is the opposite of reading the manga, right? Because the manga is like, the story crawls at a snail's pace, and it takes like 7 volumes for you to complete the first 2 episodes of the anime series. It's very frustrating from that standpoint.
I was watching the latest, I don't think it's the latest movie, but I think it's the movie before the latest movie on cable recently and discovered my new favorite hero, Cellophane, who has tape dispensers in his elbows.
Yeah. I think he's a regular, though.
Yeah, but I hadn't seen him do anything. He was just a weird guy running around with a yellow hat. And then he had to actually do something in combat, and he used his tape dispensers to, like, slam giant meteors down from the sky that his partner was levitating. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy's good.
Yeah, he and Bunny Boy just went up against one another in one of the competitions where Bunny Boy had to use the power of All Might to use his nega beams to encompass everything, and Cellophane was trying to do the same thing, and it didn't work out.
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
The true My Hero Academia fans know, which is why we're now up to our number four, Rodrigo, on our favorite anime list.
Yeah, number four. So I did not include any movies in this. This is all episodic anime. So my number four, you might have expected to see a lot higher, and that's Gurren Lagann. I didn't rank it lower because I don't love it, because I still love it. But there's some stuff about it that's problematic. And it's hard for me to recommend it because of that. And I'll give you another hint. Kill la Kill, which is probably just as good at Gurren Lagann, possibly better, by the same studio, is not at all on my list because it's hard to recommend. There's a lot of cheesecake, and also there's sort of like weird treatment of homosexuality. They almost got it because they got a character who's gay, who is very integral to the team and plays an important part, but also he kind of playfully kind of like pervs on a little kid, and it's hard to tell if he's just like being weird about it or what. And also there's like some shenanigans at a hot springs episode, of course. But other than that, it's a great show. It is a show that deals with sort of like humanity and what it means to be human and what it means to be part of like the greater human race. And also has super cool giant robots. It's also a show that never scales back down. Like in most shows, even if, you know, at the end of season one, you're fighting a monster, and at the end of season two, you're fighting a monster, but it's the size of a building. And at the end of season three, you're fighting a monster, but it's like the size of two buildings on top of each other. At some point, there has to be like that, like scale back down. Like Gurren Lagann does not. It just scales up and up and up. Then there's a time skip, and then it goes even, the parabola just gets even wackier than that. So, yeah, check it out. Once you've figured out if my disclaimer is still something or if it's still something that you want to watch despite the disclaimer, just check it out.
Yeah,
I figured out why you like that show.
Oh yeah, why?
Because the mecha has Roy Koopa sunglasses on its chest.
I mean, yeah, that's probably one of the reasons. Yeah,
that's a good part of it, I feel.
Yeah.
Matthew, what do you have for your number four?
My number four is one that I was introduced to thanks to my kid, who has been in a prolonged anime phase, or honestly, as they call it today, being a teenager, because you can just go on Netflix and you can go clickety click, 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 and all of these wonderful things will be there. Whereas, you know, when I was a teenager, you had to wait 6.5 weeks for the boat to come over with the tapes. But they sat down and they watched The Disastrous Life of Psyche K. And Psyche K is a psychic, I guess. I mean, well, that's the joke of the name. But somehow Psyche K is one of the most powerful psionics in the whole world. He can teleport. He's telekinetic. He can, you know, just wander around and wears these weird antennae on his head to keep his powers from going completely out of control. But from that point on, it's basically just a high school anime. He's wandering around, he's doing his life, and occasionally things will happen that are like, oh, clearly this is a weird telepathic kid and he can also see the future. But it's basically just a story. It's about these strange things that happen. You're going to high school, you're doing all of your stuff. And watching this, and of course, my kid is, God help me, my kid is a purist. They will not watch subtitled anime or dubbed anime. They insist on the subtitled anime. So when you're watching a Psyche K, you have to sit and focus and read it, which helps a lot, honestly, I feel, in terms of getting really into the work, which is nice. But then you also get this sort of running thread that completely surprised me. The nature of the main character pops up, and I feel like there's something really, really, I don't know if I want to say groundbreaking, but really interesting in having the main character, because he spends so much time in everybody's heads, be not only just not interested in humans at all, overtly asexual, doesn't have any interest in people. People are gross because I can read their minds. And as that progresses through the show, you do have this, you know, this building of the process, and the story is actually showing its work and explaining to us exactly why, chapter over chapter, people are terrible. I actually went and tried to dig up some of the manga from which it came, and the manga is even better because, again, black and white, lots of gray tones, but really cool, bright colors, interesting stuff going on. And also there's puns. There are puns galore, and they are translated as well as they can be, so you can actually appreciate them in English.
There you go. My number four is a movie. It is The Girl Who Leapt Through Time. It's the 2006 film that follows the adventures of a girl. Her name is Makoto, and she discovers one day, when she can't stop her bike from colliding with a train, that she can leap through time, and she can go back and fix things and do things again. She notices that she, once she starts doing this, she has a tattoo on her arm, and that tattoo starts counting down. So she knows, you know, how many leaps she can do. And she does, you know, fixing things. Oh, I said the wrong thing to a boy. Let me jump back in time and say the right thing to a boy. Those kinds of things that happen with these kind of time travel stories. But then what happens when her friends are in trouble and she's only got one leap left? What does she do? And of course, there's a boy that shows up and explains the answer to life, the universe, and time travel. And it's a really interesting film. I like what the Japanese do with their takes on time travel. The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is based on a book by the same name. And I really enjoy it. I think the animation is good. I don't know what studio did it, but every time I look at the cover, it feels like a Studio Ghibli joint, but I know it's not. But it looks really good. I think it has a nice story to it, and it's a good way to fill, what, 90 minutes or whatever it is, 95 minutes of anime adventure time. So if you're looking for a way to start and you're into time travel, like I'm into time travel, then The Girl Who Leapt Through Time is right there on your list. All right, we are now at our number three, and Rodrigo, what do you have for your number three?
My number three, and I'm glad that we're getting some new stuff in these lists, because, like, I looked at some of the stuff that I picked, and it's like 2010, which was a long time ago. I just was just watching a lot of anime in 2010, and a lot of good anime came out in like the 2000s and into 2010.
Yeah,
but, this is something from 2009. I don't know if you guys have seen a small, light, little anime called Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Yes, it's the inferior of the Full Metal Alchemist. But please go on.
You don't you like the other one?
I like
better?
The original better, but I do understand why everyone likes the remake, reboot,
boot launch.
Yeah, however they did it, because the anime diverged greatly from the comic, because the comic wasn't able to keep up with the anime. And so then fans were like, oh, but we really want this to be like the comic book. And so then they went back and redid this version that Rodrigo's talking about.
Yeah. And I like the first version enough to watch another version of the same story. Right. So I definitely like Full Metal Alchemist. No subtitles, please. but you can still watch it subtitled. Brotherhood is, in fact, as Steven said, it's a remake or rather another anime series of the same manga series that was now finished, as opposed to the previous one where they had to like make it up as they went once they hit like 2/3 of the way through. I will agree that comparatively, this one's a little bloated. There's a lot of stuff in here that I think they felt compelled to put in because for that same reason, right? It's like this now has to also feel separate from the first Full mm-hmm. Metal Alchemist series that we put out. So these like extra characters that we probably would have cut out of the manga to begin with, or mm-hmm. cut out of the anime to begin with, now we kind of have to keep because they're what makes this one different. Yeah, all the way through, you're just watching this and you're like, okay, yeah, this is just like the other one. And then like new characters are introduced, and then more characters are introduced, and then some more characters are introduced. And by the end of it, like this thing just has like such a massive cast. But if you get into it, it all pays off pretty well. I would say that the Brotherhood has the Twilight Zone ending to other Full Metal Alchemist, like Outer Limits ending.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both good.
Yeah, why don't you explain the premise of Full Metal Alchemist?
Yeah, so the premise of Full Metal Alchemist is that in this world, people can do alchemy, which means anything you want it to mean, pretty much. Usually some sort of creating some sort of physical object, but not really. Basically, you can create any effect by making what is called a transmutation circle
mm-hmm.
and providing an equivalent amount of matter or something like that. The law of equivalent exchange is talked about a lot. It's about two brothers that start the show by doing a really horrendously botched alchemical experiment, and later on we find out why, not just why they did it, but why it's why it got botched. And one of them joins the army to sort of get the means to find the Philosopher's Stone, which is supposed to basically take care of all that extra stuff for you so that you don't have to use the equivalent exchange. You can just use the stone itself. So they're on a quest to find that.
Yeah, one brother lost an arm in it, so he's got a robot arm. The other one lost his entire body, so his spirit is contained in a suit of armor that walks and talks.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. And they have a friend.
That's why they call it that.
Yeah. And in fact, the Full Metal Alchemist is the one that just has a metal arm and leg. But everyone they meet thinks that the guy in the armor is the Full Metal Alchemist.
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, the one in the armor is the younger brother, and yet he stands like 7 feet tall. And the older brother doesn't really grow very much, so he's always short, and everyone thinks that he's the younger of the two. And that causes some hijinks in the bit.
It's super fun and cute. You know, they like the title Full Metal Alchemist is a title that he's given because Japanese people, that full metal is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you know, there just ever being one movie in English called Full Metal Jacket. It's one of those animes that really like squeezes you for it. Like these characters get put through the ringer physically and emotionally. You find out all kinds of stuff. You find out that all kinds of stuff about their government. And basically this is all kicked off by a war that happened maybe not prior to the kids' lives, but when the kids were very young. Their generation has to deal with like the horrible mistakes of their predecessors, which is a huge theme in this anime, is like dealing with the sins of your father, quite literally.
So the one thing that puts me off about the original Full Metal Alchemist is the follow-up movie, Full Metal Alchemist, the movie Conqueror of Shambhala, only because they go through this gateway to another world where Adolf Hitler is the antagonist. And so it's a whole thing where they're fighting Nazis. in this parallel world. It's really weird, and it was really kind of off-putting way to end that original series, and I was like, eh.
Well, it is, because Full Metal Alchemist is supposed to be kind of an allegory for Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. Literally, the head of the country they live in is referred to as Führer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at their uniforms and stuff, it's all inspired by that. It's just kind of like this fantasy version of Germany that borders China for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Matthew, what do you have for your number three?
That weird Chinese Germany you got to look out for. My number three actually is one that made the list, leapt screaming to the top of the list based on about 2/3 of an episode seen this week. So you have to understand how impressive that is, because I'm not like a, hey, this is great, look, anime, I'm going to sit and watch it all kind of guy. But my number three this week, Mononoke, pops up and the kid is watching it. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on, because it's the story of a character just known as the medicine seller. And the medicine seller wanders around Edo period Japan and interacts with all sorts of people. And it's important that you know it's the Edo period, because they're actually following the conventions. So since he's a merchant, he's like the lowest class. He's the lowest kind of person. And everybody thinks that he's just an idiot and that they can't, you know, he can't do anything. He doesn't know anything. Everyone is far above him in terms of their esteem. And then, you know, he just slowly and quietly does his whole thing. And then ghosts show up, or monsters, or Mononoke. And he does his thing in his own little way. And everybody's like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm fixing this. And it's really, really fun. But the thing that caught me and the thing that makes me want to see it all is the art feels like it is painted on tapestry. And I'm almost certain it's just, you know, 3D animated, kind of the same way. If you look at South Park, it looks like the characters are actually still made out of construction paper, but it's just, you know, whatever they're using to animate it. Flash, I'm sure. But this feels like the actual, you know, if you go and you look at the paintings, paintings on silk or paintings on the old paper, it looks like that. And it has that texture and the colors are soaked in. And even when characters are moving, or when characters are speaking or moving around, you get these tones and you get these textures and gradients that make it just so fascinating to look at. And while I'm not entirely thrilled with some of the voice work, the voice of the main character, who again doesn't have a name, is so perfect, so deadpan, so great, that I literally want to go and watch all of it. It's from, thanks Rodrigo, because this is like my new show from 2007.
Yeah.
But, you know, for me, 15 years old is actually pretty, you know, pretty up to speed. That's about as close as I get to modern pop culture. That's not true. Okay, it is true. But nonetheless, if you haven't seen it, especially you, Stephen, I feel like you
I think I've seen it. The boys watch a lot of anime.
Yeah, and it's like on
if it's not Gravity Falls and if it's not reruns of The Simpsons, which I think he's done the entire the sidekick has done all 30 plus seasons of that are on Disney. They're watching anime. So yeah, I'm sure that they have seen it or are familiar with it.
He now holds the definitive text on America.
He probably does, right? Because there are times where I'm like, hey, you know that? That's where that meme comes from. He's like, yeah, I got to see the episode where the meme comes from. So yeah, he's all up in there. But yeah, I'm sure that they've seen Mononoke.
Oh, yeah, you should definitely check it out. I think you'd like it.
My number three is kind of like Rodrigo's Gurren Laga, in that it's problematic because one of the characters is kind of pervy and the other one is standoffish, but somehow he gathers a harem of women around him. And that's a pretty typical in some anime where it's the male protagonist and like five or six other characters are all women and they're all somehow infatuated with him for various different reasons. Mm-hmm. This one is also a semi-time travel movie or TV series in that it has to do with parallel dimensions and jumping dimensions and going back and fixing things and moving away from the main timeline. I'm talking about Steins Gate, where this college student who thinks he's this world's greatest genius and his friend who's a hacker have their own little secret lab, and they pretend that they are undercover secret agents while they're doing all these experiments and using a banana, a microwave, and something else, a toaster, I think, invent time travel. And that it all has to do with certain laboratories. If you're a big fan of the guy's name is slipping my mind, but he was this time traveler that was coming back through time trying to find this old computer so that he could change the future and battle CERN. That's a main plot point in Steins Gate. It's all very fascinating. There was a sequel to it, Steins Gate Zero, which dealt with AI. And it's I never made it all the way through that, but the main Steins Gate series is fantastic. They tried to make a movie of it, condensing it down. That one is okay, but really, if you want the full experience, and there's a little bit of sometimes creepiness in there in the way that characters look at each other, but otherwise, it's a fantastic story, and that's why it lands at my number three. All right, we are back around to our number twos, and before we get to our number twos, I want to just remind you that if you enjoy this show, or all the shows, or any of the shows, or just some of the shows, or maybe just this show that we do at Major Spoilers, and you want to, you got a laugh, you learned something, you got a good recommendation about something, then by all means, head over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/majorspoilers. That's patreon.com/majorspoilers. And sign up for, you know, like the base level, a $5 a month subscription will go a long way. I think we have a $2 a month subscription if you don't want to commit to $5 a month, $5 a month. You know, every little bit helps. And if we can get every single listener of Top 5 joining our Patreon page, we can do a lot of really cool things and ensure that Top 5 continues far, far, far into the future. So what are you waiting for? Join all the other cool kids. Head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. And now here's Rodrigo with his number two.
My number two from the far-flung year and best copyright of 2011 is a show that I first encountered because D&D Brian was excited about it, and I'm like, Brian is a wellspring of pop culture stuff, and his angle of incidents is definitely different from mine. He sort of roots out things that I'm not aware of a lot of the time. So I was like, all right, people are talking about this, I'm gonna watch it. I'm sure I'm not gonna like it. You know, I like Sailor Moon back in the day, but I'll check out this Madoka Magica show. And holy
stuff.
Yeah. Holy carp, you guys. If you haven't seen the Madoka Magica series, I strongly urge you to do it. When we talk about sort of like media theory, film theory, that sort of thing, you have sort of genres or films or whatever, and then you have sort of deconstructions of those genres, right? So Madoka Magica is like a deconstruction of the magical girl type of anime. And since Madoka Magica, a lot of stuff has been done that kind of tries to replicate it or tries to maybe land somewhere in the middle, but Madoka Magica goes all out. In the same way that like Gurren Lagann is sort of like a celebration of the giant mech genre, Madoka Magica is like a let's like pop it open and look at its guts and tell you why it's actually the inherent horror, the inherent personal horror within magical girls, which is definitely a pitch. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I watched it and it kind of blew my mind. It's a show that pulls the rug out from under you multiple times. At some point you realize that actually, even though you've been watching the show from a character's perspective, the main character of the show, it's actually a different character. and it's like 2/3 of the way through, it was like, ah, what's happening? I strongly recommend it. I think the movie hits all the, or most of the beats of the series, but it does has to do it very fast. The movie is a much slower burn, or the series is a much slower burn. So I would recommend that if you can track it down. I don't know what services it's on nowadays. But you guys are smart. You'll figure it out. So yeah, my number two, what is it like? Puella Magi, Madoka Magica. But if you look up Madoka Magica, it'll come up.
Yep. Come up. There you go. Matthew had My Hero Academia at number two. My number two, I found in 1989, 90. I was living in the dorms, the male dorm at our university, and I had a bunch of Japanese friends who were transfer students or international students that were, you know, coming and studying various things. And one night they're like, hey, we just got a copy of Akira. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. And they're like, oh, you got to come and watch this. And I guess a bunch of other. So it was like me, one other white guy, and then a room full of Japanese students were all packed into this little tiny dorm room, all crowded around this little 13-inch television screen so we could watch Akira. And of course, this was brought directly over from Japan. So there was no dubs at the time. There were no subs at the time. It was all completely Japanese. And, you know, every 5 minutes I was like, so what did he say? What did he say? And you don't really need to know the translation exactly because the story is pretty straightforward. There was a world war in which Tokyo was destroyed. And in the aftermath, there's a lot of drugs. Oh, I should say this takes place in the far future of 2019. The government is researching psychics and trying to find people with psychic abilities. And there is one person who is quite possibly the greatest psychic power of them all. And one of them is locked up. One of them is running around the streets of Neo Tokyo. And it is a fantastic, trippy, I shouldn't say mess, but it's a fantastic, trippy commentary on absolute power and what it can do to people who are, you know, put off or put out. And it has got some of the greatest animated visuals you will ever see. If you've never seen Akira before, I asked my oldest last night, I was like, have you ever seen Akira? And he's like, is that the bike movie? I'm like, yeah, but it's so much more than that. He's like, no, I haven't seen it. So I'm like, oh, we need to really watch that this weekend. It is fantastic. And it is often regarded as one of the best animated movies of all time, let alone anime movies of all time. So go track yourself down a 1988 copy. They've done multiple versions of this. In fact, a few years ago, I think I still have this somewhere, maybe at our storage facility. They updated this to Blu-ray and really gave it a really great treatment to make it fantastic, put it in a fantastic box, all of this stuff. I'm going to maybe have to pull that one out instead of watching the one that's streaming just so you can get the big picture for that. But it is a fantastic, fantastic movie. Akira is my number two, which brings us around to our number ones. Rodrigo, what do you have for your number one?
My number one is, I believe, made by the same person that did Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh yeah,
but I forget her name. Yeah, it's an anime that was on Netflix for a little while and then disappeared and haven't been able to find it. I'm sure it's like on Crunchyroll or something. But it's kind of unlike a lot of the ones that I've talked about, which are big, made a big splash in the American nerd community. This one kind of snuck by because it's a slice of life anime, as opposed to, you know, everything else on my list, which has like monsters and lasers and stuff like that. But if you guys get a chance to watch Silver Spoon, I really recommend it. It's a story about a young man, like a teenager named Hachiken, who goes to, even though he's like from Tokyo and like from the city, he goes to an agricultural, I guess high school would be the equivalent. But, you know, schooling's different there. But it's basically like going to a technical school. It's like just an agriculture-based school. And eventually you find out why. But it is, you know, especially if you compare it to, you know, the other anime that I've talked about, it's like crushingly mundane. It really is just like this kid navigating, you know, relationships as they're happening, you know, as he's like meeting his roommates and meeting the people here and rivals. Also, personally, I have a lot of, like, I feel a connection to Hachiken because when I graduated from college, I went from living in cities to living out in the country and doing a lot of work with agriculture. Mm-hmm. Hachiken's ongoing realizations of how literally how the bacon or how the sausage gets made is something that I went through, right? Not quite to the same degree because, you know, I was already in my 20s when this happened, and like Hachiken had literally had never thought about it before. I think about it. I think about this show a lot. I think about how it has episode titles like Hachiken Rides a Horse and Hachiken goes to visit his friend. Hachiken bakes a pizza. So it's, I don't know. It's hard. I know I'm probably not doing a very good job of selling it, but there's like nothing I can tell you about this show that won't like spoil little relationship moments. Other than like, it's a really delightful show. And I think if you know nothing about agriculture, you're going to get something out of it. And if you actually know about agriculture, you're going to get possibly more out of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, my number one, Silver Spoon.
Very good. Matthew, what do you have for your number one?
Her name is Hiromu Arakawa.
Yeah.
And she's good. As soon as you said by the same person, I'm like, he's going to talk about Silver Spoon.
Yep.
Now, here's the thing. I remember not so many years ago, here at Major Spoilers, somebody saying, why don't you guys cover more anime and manga? And between the three of us, we kind of said, well, we're not really experts. And I know I was just like, I know nothing. But I do know this, and this is important. I'm old. And as Rodrigo pointed out, sometimes when we do these, our lists may be a little bit long in the tooth. And so I said to myself, self, honestly, in your history, what is the best anime you ever interacted with? And the answer was clear. It had to be my number one, Science Ninja Team Gatchaman from 1972.
Whoa.
Right, which came to the United States in 1977 or so, thanks to Sandy Frank, whose movies really, really suck, TM. But because of the really, I don't want to say really well done, but also terrible, because of the mixed bag anime adaptation that was Battle of the Planets, I finally went and looked up the original Science Ninja Team Gatchaman. And it fails on only one level when compared to the American. And that is the American music is like 100 times better. That music was killer. The music was amazing. It's not as good in Japan. But everything about Gatchaman is Battle of the Planets only better. So you know the deal. There's five superheroes. Each of them has a bird theme. So there's Ken the Eagle and Joe the Condor, June the Swan, Jinpei the Swallow, and Ryu the Owl. And the five of them are a color-coded super team who go out and they fight the evil, evil something, something dark side. Now, in America, the villains were aliens and their foot soldiers were robots. That's because right. The foot soldiers got killed a lot. And so we had to say they're robots and they're aliens. In Japan, they are not. They are basically evil environmental eco-terrorists. They are bad guys who kind of have a good point, which is a very, for me at least, early interaction with this particular trope. And their evil leader is actually an androgynous character who appears both as a man and as a woman during the show. So in the United States, they're like, oh yeah, that's his sister. Sure. And I'm like, fine, you know, I get it. You're trying to sell this to 5-year-olds, and they did it, because here I am 45 years later talking about it. But honestly, if nothing else, you can say that this is amazing action. This is amazing fight sequences. This is amazing flying sequences. Their ship bursts into flame and crashes through things, but it nearly kills them every time it happens. So it's interesting. And the last, and this is important because I want to make this clear. The last thing, the lowest rung, is that this is where Super Sentai comes from.
Oh yeah, all the way down to Seven Zark Seven. If you want to know where I comes from, it's Seven Zark Seven. Exactly.
And if you say to me, "Don't you love Super Sentai with every fiber of your being?" Yup. And that is the least important thing about Science Ninja Team Gatchaman. Now, that said, the fact that 5 years after this, they kicked off Super Sentai, and Super Sentai has been going on forever and ever and ever, and you'll never know all of their names, and sometimes you'll get confused, and Steven just calls them all the Blue Ranger.
I call them all the Amy Jo Johnson Rangers.
Yeah, exactly. The Amy Jo Johnson Rangers. So if you want to know.
That's the only one that matters.
If you want to know where the Amy Jo Johnson eventually Rangers came from.
I mean, I feel like in the comics, eventually we did get the Amy Jo Johnson Rangers.
We did. Yeah, the Shattered Grid thing, right? You get old Amy Jo Johnson, you get young Amy Jo Johnson, you get the Amy Jo Johnson who went off to the peace conference and never came back. It's Amy Jo Johnson all the way down, including Rita Amy Jo Johnson Repulsa.
And the irony is, folks, unlike usually when he's trolling me, that's all true and factual. But yes, if you've ever seen Battle of the Planets, you should definitely check out Gatchaman. If you've never seen Battle of the Planets and you are under the age of 40, go and see Gatchaman. If you've never seen Battle of the Planets and you're 40 and up, I want you to watch Battle of the Planets. Then I want you to watch Gatchaman. And you say, why? And I say, because we're old. That's all you need to know, because we're old. And if you get through all of this and you come to the end and you go, Matthew, this is not as good as you say, I will come to your house and give you $1 American, as long as your house is within 12 feet of me.
The pacing of the Japanese version is, I think, awkward at times, in that it is very much catered to an older audience. And so the older audience would watch this and go, oh, okay, I understand why this plot point is dragging out for so long, or why this thing suddenly pops up. But the pacing is really weird in the original series. And I think that they, with the help of Seven Zark Seven, kind of corrected that in the American version.
Seven Zark Seven, who, by the way, was voiced by Wilbur from Mr. Ed, was there to cover the plot point problems. Yeah. That were brought up by the deaths of certain characters, including Condor Joe.
Oh no, Amy Jo Johnson, no.
Yes, Amy Jo Johnson died in Japan.
Oh,
but it's okay. Right. What is wrong with you?
My number one is Cowboy Bebop. I don't think anything else needs to be said. It's a fantastic show. If you've never watched it, there's an empty spot in your life that needs to be filled immediately. With the adventures of the people aboard the Cowboy Bebop. That is all I'm going to say, and that's where we're going to end our show this week. Thank you, everybody, for checking us out. If you have any comments, questions, then I would point you over to our Discord server, where you can hop into the Top 5 channel, and you can share your Top 5 anime. Could be TV shows, could be movies. I was going to do one that was just going to be time travel animes, because there's plenty of them out there, and I've seen almost all of them. You can share those over there in our Discord server, which you can join completely for free. And you're going to share your list. Everyone will read your list. Why? Because everyone loves a list. And we will talk again soon.
This podcast is copyright 2023 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.